Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast.
Yeah, woo!
I'm very happy that everyone cheered. So, welcome back, guys. You're joined by me at FLWN_, and I am joined with
Marva at Marva MSK.
Sorry. Joyce at ELJoyce_.
Moyo at Moyo's Laboratory.
Sam at SRCK12.
Mariam at I am Mariam_.
Brie at Miss Blue.
All right. Welcome back to another episode, guys. So we have quite a bit to unpack today, but we're going to get through it as quickly as possible. And I guess, seeing as we're coming off the back of it, we'll start with Liverpool versus Manchester City. What a bloody match. And seeing as Moyo's nodding her head so quickly, Moyo, what did you take of the match? In fact, let's skip the first half, go straight to the second half. What was your take from the match?
My take from the match is that they're just two very, very, very good teams, two very well-coached teams, two teams that really understand, you know, how they're supposed to play.
Chelsea don't understand.
Huh? Oh!
Wait, we've only done this. Moyo said one line.
Before carrying on, Moyo.
She didn't say the two best teams of the pair.
No, just two teams that really understand, you know, that what they're doing, what the plan is. They don't look confused. Everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing. Cancelo, I thought, was fantastic, especially. Bernardo Silva, especially, as well, was really, really, really good.
That guy was pressing that.
They've got people that just get it. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, Pep is coaching and Klopp is coaching as well, but they just get it. Like, they're so coachable. They've got a lot of skill. And I think as well that one thing that was clear in the match was just the fact that, how do I describe it? Like, those two will probably be the two plus Chelsea.
Thank you.
Fighting for the top. Like,
The way
Liverpool scored and then City responded straight away is that we can't afford to lose this match, and they understood it. Yeah. Whereas, like, you know, other matches, it's just that if I lose, but like, there's so much importance on Liverpool versus City matches, and it was clear to see again.
It was good to see again.
Just shut up.
Okay, so looking at that match, we saw the first half, right? Did everyone watch the first half? Because I know a majority of us caught the second half. Anyone watch the first half?
Yeah, I watched the first half.
It was a bit dull, no?
It was a bit dull, but I was really impressed by how well City controlled that first half. To go, because it was at Anfield, isn't it?
Yeah.
To go to Anfield, because everyone's all about, you know, Anfield atmosphere, you know, whatever. But, like, to go, like, to be an away team, and to come to Anfield and just basically, like, just press them off, not press them off the park, but they controlled that first half. They were quite unlucky to have not, like, left that half, like, not being on top. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, like, the second half came, like, I don't know what Klopp said to them, but Liverpool responded really, really well. Mm-hmm. But, like,
something we didn't do.
Oh, yeah. But I was just really impressed. I was just, like, two of the, yeah, like, when I was saying, like, two of some of the best teams in the league. And for me, it's like, I'm quite, you know, at the beginning of the season when people talk about, oh, which teams are going to win the league, which teams are going to win the league. For some reason, people were not really talking about Liverpool. Yeah. And I don't understand it. Everyone's like, yeah, yeah, United, super team, Chelsea, whatever. People are like proper counting out like City, who just won the league, and Liverpool, who have like arguably one of the, like, not even arguably, like one of the best starting 11s in the league. Probably even the whole world.
It was so up and down last season.
Like, yeah.
Mad. Also, I think I've no big transfers either. Like,
But then they don't need, like, I don't want to say, obviously they do need like transfers. They need to like refresh their team, and like maybe in a year or two, they're going to be like, oh my God, like we've lost like this player, like Salah wants to leave, all that stuff. But like their team is cold. Like there's a reason why, I mean, they've had an easier fixture list, but there's a reason why they're still top or in and around the top of the league right now.
Like, so they have a top coach.
Quality.
So, yeah. So putting Liverpool to the side just for a second, you spoke about Man City pressing and, you know, how they really controlled the game, etc. So I have a problem with them. The fact that they don't have a striker, can you seriously put them in contention? Especially seeing what they've done against Chelsea, what they've done against Liverpool. But then you look at what they did against Southampton, which was nothing. No end product there. Can you seriously put them in contention for the title without a striker? Is it going to be enough?
I mean, I think that they can do it. Whatever coaching that Pep is doing, he's clearly creating that false nine narrative that's working for them. Because I think he said something, I don't know when he said it, but he was like, oh, are you guys going to look for a striker in January? He's like, yeah, just give me 250 mil and I'll get two strikers. But no, I think they can make it happen because you have to work with what you've got. And if you don't have a striker, you've got to use the person that is the one that's creating the most chances and is available in that opposition box to, you know, be there and get the goals. And more time, he's got several attacking positions that can do that for him. Mm-hmm. Some other teams don't really want to do that, but anyway. But yeah, no, they're definitely in contention without a striker. But when they get the striker, it's
it just makes you think, why did they sign Grealish? Because
I think that was greedy.
It was greedy. Someone said they signed Kieran Ackley. It just didn't make sense. The greedy thing. It makes sense, obviously, because like he's a very good player. You're only going to be able to spend one large amount on someone.
But then I think they were able to because they were still trying to get Kane. What, 90 million, 100 million? So they clearly had the money, but it was just didn't work out. Basically.
Do you not think here that Grealish is offering City something Sterling couldn't offer them?
No, he's not offering 100 million. That's
all. Yeah, I think so.
Because 100 million, you should be doing a lot better.
Look at it this way, right? Why invest 100 million pounds on Grealish when you could have invested 100 million and a bit more on Harry Kane?
I think they tried that. That's why they probably just went all out for Grealish.
But they were willing to do both.
They'll do both. But Levy said
But the impact Kane would have, okay, let me not say that because
no sense.
Like the impact Kane would have, I don't think Grealish will have that same. No, like he will, of course, yes, he will have an impact because he's a great player, but I don't think he'd have that same, you know, that same kick that Kane would have, where it'd be like, oh my gosh, like this team is really like,
But when Levy wants to put his phone on D&D, like, you actually, that's true.
Can't say he put his phone on D&D. I'm so dead. But then you look at the other end of the spectrum, you look at Liverpool, who kind of thrive without a striker. I'm not going to call Firmino a striker. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. But they kind of thrive without a striker, and you kind of compare the teams. And I guess I want to ask, what's the difference? Anyone got an answer for me?
When you look at the result today, there's literally minimal difference.
Yeah.
Because they came out of a draw. They went all out, 2-2. I was expecting a boring 0-0 game, but obviously these two teams know what's at stake. So I don't really see that much of a difference between the two teams. So when it comes down to it, it's what team has more of an edge come later part of the season? Who's going to be the one to take each game as it comes and win all of them? That's going to be the difference, I think.
Also, like when we're saying in terms of what does Grealish bring compared to like Sterling or whatever, but that is where it's going to make the difference. A few months down the line, with a lot of games, with Liverpool don't necessarily have that squad that City have, even though they've got incredible players. I'm like, that is where a 100 million pound Grealish kind of comes in handy.
That is true, because then you look at African Cup of Nations, you look at Salah and Mane. Both of their men, both of their goal scorers are gone for at least 2 to 3 games. You know, it's a bit tight. And I said this in the last episode, people that keep saying it's only 2 games.
They might need to quarantine.
Bam, they might need to quarantine. You never know, circumstances. Just
like, also just might be tired injuries. From playing like,
exactly.
And remember, they're going to the heat and then coming back to
the cold. Yeah, oh, it's going to be freezing in January, ain't it? Bloody hell. But, okay, so looking at, directly at Mohamed Salah, we're looking at, directly at Mohamed Salah. Now that Eden Hazard is gone, and left the Premier League. Now that Eden Hazard is gone and has opened the gates. has opened the gates for discussion around the best player in the Premier League. Brie, I'm gonna come to you because you know what Eden Hazard's about. Do you think Mohamed Salah can finally take that crown and say, yeah, he is the best player in the Premier League at the moment?
Absolutely. He's been consistent for how many seasons now? Like, well, obviously when Hazard was there, I was in denial, but my eyes are now, you know, my judgment isn't foggy anymore. Like, I can see clearly. And no, absolutely, it shouldn't even be a debate. I think he deserves it. He's been consistent every single season, day in, day out. And I think it'd be rude not to even include him as one of the best in the Premier League, even in the Premier League history. Because let's also, what we need to understand is that these are a new generation of football players. And we need to actually start adding football players to, you know, history talks. And I feel like Salah, he deserves it. He deserves a seat. He deserves that space there.
At the table. Because
what we say in Salah's better legend than Gerrard.
Ooh.
And you know what? We ain't got Liverpool fans here, so you can't wait for that. I mean,
Salah did win the Champions League.
Salah won the Champions. He won the Prem.
I'm pretty sure he's
asked. That's the question.
He's like, is it number of times to get to 100 goals or something? Yeah, he's like one of the fastest ever.
I don't know. I guess Liverpool fans, you lot tell us.
They have to actually remove the sentiment and emotion and this is the facts, and now make it.
But the thing is, with stuff like being a legend, I feel like emotion has to come into it.
No, it
because
does.
It's so like,
it comes with time.
I'm saying a lot of people, like, I don't know what the word is, like, they hold on to Gerrard for so many things, and I'm just thinking, but now looking at it and looking at what Salah has and what he's achieved, and that's what I mean by, like, removing emotion. Of course the emotion is going to be there because, legendary, that can almost be subjective, but I just mean, like, if they're trying to be like, oh, no, just because it's Gerrard, do you know what I mean? Just because of who he is, his name, as opposed to what they've both, like, achieved at Liverpool.
No, I totally get that, but I feel like just because Gerrard is a legend doesn't mean that Salah can't be a legend too. They can both be legends at the same time. There doesn't have to just be one legend. So I feel like Liverpool fans, they should open their eyes and see that he is actually probably the Liverpool legend of this generation.
Did you ask if Salah has more of... Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's the thing though, because I think at this point, like, pretty much every Liverpool fan, like, is, like, loves Salah. They think he's a legend. But it's just like talking about whether he's a bigger legend than Gerrard. Yeah. I think who Gerrard is to to Liverpool is very, very hard to
think.
It's not our conversation.
That because Gerrard played in a different era. Salah's playing in a different era.
Yeah. Also, like that whole academy thing. Like,
came
from the game.
Even though he was never a fan to begin with.
But I don't think that there should even be a conversation of who's the bigger legend. They're both just legends in different times. In their own ways, and we should just leave it at that.
Okay, so Mohamed Salah right now, can we put him in the top 10 greatest Premier League players ever? Moyo, why are you saying top 10?
Let's not go crazy now.
I mean
so you guys wouldn't add any current player into top 10 right now?
Top 10, not legends, top 10 best players to ever grace the Premier League.
He's not far. He can get in there.
Who's your top 10?
That's a good question. Because I think when people hear top 10, they think, oh my God, like, that's just, you can't touch it because it's full of so many untouchables. But if you sit down and you actually say, okay, who is your top 10? And you start looking at those players, Salah might be better than...
Okay.
I'm intrigued to know what some people's top 10 is.
Let's try and break this down, and I'm going to go one for each person on here, right? Top 10, who are you putting in there? Moya, I'll start with you.
Took mine.
Took mine too. No problem.
Because he's everyone's best. Rooney.
Shearer.
Brie.
Dropper. No, you want me to slap you?
I was calculating.
This is why I skipped my
turn. We're adding to the list. Yeah, so far we've got
Henri,
Rooney, Shearer, Drogba.
Yes.
I'm saying zero.
Yes, I did.
I'm just letting everyone know.
I'm saying
Aguero.
Yeah.
Yep, Aguero. We haven't mentioned defenders though. I would have said people like.
You would say, yeah, Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Ronaldo. Okay. For me, I'd put Frank Lampard. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We've got 7. Anyone want to throw three people?
Have you said Gerrard?
Well, I personally wouldn't put someone who hasn't won the Premier League.
That's a bit wild.
No, it's not. It's not wild. Okay. It's not.
Right.
So then
John Terry, Rio Ferdinand. Will you not put them in?
I was gonna say Ferdinand. We've got two more spots.
Because okay, say like for me, like the way when I look at like greatest ever players, yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like I can't be objective past a certain point because I know damn well I was not watching football in 2000. I don't know anything. Me, I was in my little nappies. I don't know anything about football in 2000.
Yeah. But no one was watching the Premier League. Guys, yeah. You were like four.
Yeah, exactly. And like someone like Alan Shearer, yeah.
I don't know. He's
one person that like when people put him in the list, I will leave it there because his accolades like kind of speak for themselves. Mm. Top goal scorer ever. Like just no one is hitting those numbers for a very, very long time, if ever.
Yeah.
However, I never watched the man play. So I can never say with like true objectivity, I feel like he's this or this person's better than him. Yeah. I can only look at stats. So him, like, I'll leave it out. But like everyone else, like past, if we're looking at like 2002, kind of maybe onwards, 2003 plus, like who out of that list are you saying like Salah can't even be in the conversation?
I'm adding Salah to the list.
He can be in the conversation, but it's...
I think he needs a few more years.
He can be in it, but it's wild.
Guys, like, are we all deep in that? We've literally said, let's name 10 players.
And we've got me.
I need my notepad.
Skulls is in there. Okay. Yeah.
But is that because of longevity or are we talking about how talented they were, I suppose?
It's a bit both though, no? It's like if you've done it on a consistent basis over that many years as well. Because I imagine Salah just dropped off for the next few years and you wouldn't have the same conversations, but it's the fact he's been in it. Like if he carries on at this level for another like 3 years in the Premier League, which
So if we use that argument, for example, right? So Salah's been doing this since like what, 2017, 2016, whatever.
Yeah.
So he's like 4 years back to back to back scoring ridiculous numbers every single year.
The only man who broke the record for most Premier League goals.
Yeah. So he's done this back to back to back to back for like 4 years. And then say like someone, for example, I'm not saying that Salah's better than Ronaldo. I'm not pleased before anyone comes to my head, right? But how long, like when we talk about Ronaldo being one of the best players in the Premier League, Ronaldo's best wasn't in the Premier League. Do you know what I mean?
And I agree with that, yeah. But Ronaldo's best in the Premier League was ridiculous. And he won the Ballon d'Or whilst he was in the Premier League. And he won the Champions League whilst he was in the Premier League. Do you know what I mean? Like, Obviously, Salah's done the same, but look, that's what I'm just saying. It's not wild, but it's wild. My thing is, if someone else wants to put him in their top 10, I'm not going to go.
How many years did Ronaldo do before he went to Real Madrid?
Here, as in United?
He left in 2009. Do you know what, guys? Let's Google it. Okay, so Cristiano Ronaldo. Let's go on Wikipedia. No. We're not doing any sort of guessing.
Well, no matter what year it was that he left it, he did, let's say, 4 to 5 years. Salah has done like what, five seasons at Liverpool, and he did a season at Chelsea or two, I can't remember.
Ronaldo did 6 years in the Premier League.
Okay, cool. I'm counting it is that we're looking at duration as well.
But in terms of his mad good seasons, I'd probably say four.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely at Liverpool because Chelsea was a mess. But what I'm still saying is, looking at Ronaldo's length that he spent at United and Salah's, it's similar. So why can't Salah be in a conversation? Why can't he be in that list? just not yours.
That's what I'm just trying to say. No, he's actually spent enough years for him to have that, to have a seat at the table.
Salah has the accolades, to make the argument. It's just that if you want to put him there. He has all the arguments that you could say, I've got this. And then it's hard to debate against it. But obviously it's a preference thing. Mm. But he's not far off the top 10. Like, he could easily
get be like 15
by the time
he leaves,
yeah.
I'll put him top 15 for sure.
Yeah.
It's just about, maybe by the time he leaves, I might say he's in the top 10. But just as of right now, I don't think, off the top of my head, that he's in the top 10.
Would anyone here, apart from Bree, because I know Bree feels strongly about it, would anyone here put Mo Salah in their top 10 right now?
Who's in your top 10?
Listen. No, but it's like...
When it comes to your top 10, you want to see this person through from the beginning to the end of their time at the Prem and what their impact has been.
Mm-hmm.
And with Salah, as you guys said, you don't want to take emotion from it. Sometimes it's just kind of you want to see a player and think, yeah, you actually deserve it. I get it. And I do get it from stats. Salah, you've done your thing. But for me, I don't know. I just feel like top 15 makes complete sense. But at the top of my head, I can't sit here and be like, yeah, Salah, 100% top 10.
Sorry,
yeah.
Quick question. Do you not think that De Bruyne is in the top 10?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
In fact, you probably won't make it up. It's not that.
So if he wins the Champions League, he's not in your top 10 still?
No.
The thing is, exactly.
Hello.
No, I'm genuine question though. No, because De Bruyne is doing. You're saying hello here because his thing is scoring, but that's his role. De Bruyne's role, De Bruyne is more than
assist king.
Yeah,
essentially.
Are we forgetting that within the past few seasons, De Bruyne's had quite some periods where he's not been great? I get his injury as well.
What did this guy get? Didn't he get that player of the year not long ago?
That was a fluke.
But that's because he's one of the people who's one of the faces of the Premier League.
He's the face of the Premier League. The thing is, okay, if we were to kind of divide or separate this kind of debate into attackers, midfielders, top 10, defenders, etc., Salah makes everyone's top 10 attackers, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and obviously De Bruyne will make everyone's top 10, midfielders. Rio Ferdinand will make everyone's top 10, so we can just divide it like that, and then that way, everybody's happy.
Owen type striker.
Let's not go into the technicalities here, all right?
I'm trying to think of, because I just think, if you won the Ballon d'Or whilst you've been in the Prem, you've got to put him in conversation.
He was young.
Then you have to start. And then if you put him now in the list, we're on 10. Without Salah.
But okay, so back to the De Bruyne argument, when you're saying why isn't De Bruyne in the top 10 Premier League ever? But we're talking about Salah, yeah. If you look at all of the midfielders that people have talked about in this conversation, they've been goal scoring midfielders
because
people value that when they look at do you know what I mean? So the only people that we've listed in terms of midfielders have just been Scholes, Gerrard. Lampard.
No one mentioned Gerrard.
I mentioned Gerrard. Everyone shut me down. Anyway, when we're talking about the best people, everyone has mentioned midfielders who had longevity and also scored a hell of a lot of goals. No one's really mentioned De Bruyne, maybe because I don't want to say it's because of his goal scoring record, but I think people always favor people who attack and who score more goals than people who sit deep.
Think about even Yaya Toure, how good he was.
I was going to add him, but I was a bit like, since we're
on this topic and we're all saying this, look at what people are saying about Hazard. Because he wasn't scoring that many goals, but the talent, again.
Yeah.
That's what I think it depends on
what you're bringing to the table.
What your ranking highs. Is it the output? Or is it what you can see?
You've got to have smaller kind of caveats to these type of conversations.
David Silva, Fabregas.
Exactly. Yeah. That's true.
Do you know what? One day, if we have a midfield debate, that would be probably more interesting than an attacking debate. A midfield debate would be very interesting, but let's move swiftly on before we start going. You said David Silva, I said nah. You said Yaya Toure, I said nah. We need to keep this going. So obviously 2-2 today. Can you guys see any of these teams edging one another and taking a Premier League over everybody else? Ooh, Mariam, I'm coming to you, baby.
You're talking every Pawn City, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but something tells me City. Like, I'm not ruling Liverpool out here. Like, they're going to challenge. Of course, they're going to be up there. Like, they're scary. But
yeah,
I don't know. There's just something about City. And I don't think it's not the fact that they've won it so many times now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like they have the extra edge. Like, that is what my gut is telling me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Liverpool are, of course, they're very, very talented squad. Like, they're very good with a great coach. But yeah. I don't know what it is about City. I don't know.
What about City's noisy neighbours? You wouldn't put them ahead of them to win the Premier League?
It's the hate crime.
I'm just asking a question. Manchester City's noisy neighbours, Man United, can you put them ahead of Man City for winning the Premier League?
Of course not.
Okay.
Of course
not.
Ooh. That's crazy. So the greatest Premier League player of all time, or whatever, greatest of all time, can't push you guys to a title now.
He can, but you can put anyone in that team and we won't win any big trophies. Not happening, like, anyone.
Then how did you make all those purchases then?
Okay, some people will be in the boardroom meeting.
Of course, you want to do anything you can to rebuild that squad and just to push, but with the coach we have, we're so limited. Our coach doesn't match our players, like the caliber of players we have, it doesn't match our coach. Like, he's down here and our players are up here. Do you get it?
Moya, I want to get you back. Moya
said, sorry. I was thinking Moya's going to have a rebuttal.
She's had enough of me. And you know when people kept saying that, when people were saying, oh, we need a defensive midfielder, and someone was like, you're not ever going to have 11, you're not ever going to have basically 11 players of that, like, peak top quality. Mm. But the thing is, that's what we need. I'm not joking. No, when Ole is the manager, that's what we need. Because we need it to be that everyone that's on the pitch already knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Basically,
Because you're on the pitch, you're on your own.
Yeah. Yeah, you're out there like it's like lambs to the slaughter, as in go out there, do your own thing, hope for the best.
Hope for the best.
Yeah, like that's literally
it.
So
it's
time. McGurk is tired. It's so tired.
Can't relate.
Because it's like, I don't know.
Shut up,
I didn't say anything!
I'm so happy you're here today, because I couldn't do this for myself.
I didn't. Okay. Moving swiftly on, Man United faced Everton today. Yesterday.
I'm so cheeky. Oh, my day.
Listen. For me, Everton took a W. I'm just saying. In fact, I'm not even going to go to negative energy first. Marva, you clearly watched the match. How are you feeling in light of that match from yesterday?
Do you know what? It was just a surprise. Like, I was saying on the group chat, I was expecting a 5-0, like, because I looked at our team sheet, and even if you look at our substitutions, they brought on Pogba, Ronaldo and Sancho. Yeah. We brought on Tom Davis and Dobbin. Dobbin. He's like some 19-year-old or something, maybe even younger. He's only played like 2 minutes of the Premier League so far. He's so cute, but that's Ronaldo. Like, so when I saw that team sheet, like, obviously Coleman out, we don't have a right back. Godfrey's playing right back. Richarlison out, Calvert-Lewin out. We're playing Rondon up front still, who actually, to be fair, did all right this game. Yeah. Like, he wasn't a Calvert-Lewin, and if Calvert-Lewin was in those chances that Rondon had, I feel like we could have actually got quite a few goals, or at least more goal-scoring opportunities. Whereas, like, it came to Rondon, and he just, like, took a touch too many, and it just didn't work out. But he was an all right target man for the game. So, yeah, considering, like, who we had out, I was expecting a battering. So to come away actually feeling like we could have got the 3 points was, like, it's a good sign.
I just have one more question for you. If Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison were on the pitch, do you think you could have taken away those 3 points?
Definitely. I mean, if Tom Davis shot, we could have taken away those 3 points. Yeah. Like, he passed it to, well, fair enough, like, I can understand him scoring it, but we were so close to winning that match even without them, so I'm like, 100% we could have given it a go.
And I guess going to the Old Trafford, ladies, I don't really want to start with Moya, so I'll go. Oh, you got a question?
How
go on, Samantha.
How do you feel about the disallowed goal? The offside.
It was offside.
It was not much to feel. It was offside.
Sorry. I don't know what you're trying to feel.
I'm sorry. I'm very emotional right now.
You know what? Show your pain.
No, it was frustrating because when you watched like the moment they showed it, I was like, oh.
You just knew.
But it was like, it didn't need to be, but that's what happened when a centre back is trying to get in a tap in. Do you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't know his runs. But, and also because Davis, he like missed the like final penalty against QPR. Like, he just not had a great time recently, so his confidence was low. But if he had that confidence, like someone was saying, like, if you saw that, the Davis that ran the length of the pitch against City that time, like a few years ago, if it was that Davis who would just take it on and take the shot, because he had so much space, it just fell to him. But it is what it is. Can't complain.
This one is so cheeky. And Marion, please don't come for me. Moya, don't come for me. Andreas Townsend scored a goal.
Yeah.
He ran to the Everton fans and he said,
"Sue!" It was such a bad sue.
I think he got a bit too excited. But scoring at Old Trafford in front of Cristiano Ronaldo, in front of Usain Bolt, in front of Khabib, you're going, doing it regardless of how you look. But Moyo, Mariam, how did you feel watching that on your screen? Especially because they replayed it quite a couple of times.
Yeah, they did.
Quite a couple of times.
First of all, I was like, Townsend, I like you. And I've done that, I don't. And I just thought, well, yeah, that's what we've become. Like, when Lingard used to dance at the Emirates, like, we used to talk bears. And I was like, But now Townsend's done that. It's like, look at what we've become. Like, that's... Yeah. I just think it was disrespectful, but you know, credit team, like, it was a very good goal, and you know what, Everton, they deserved that goal, so he just didn't need to do this. like, my head was hot. It was just like, this is really what we've become. Like, this is so sad. People come to Old Trafford now and there's no fear. Like, that fear factor is gone. It's gone years ago.
You're a dance
floor. Okay, I wouldn't say we're a dance
floor. You're a dance floor.
The team that Mina does that over
here. Mina, it was dead as well, too. It was so stiff, like.
My head was hot.
I'm so happy that I was disallowed because I was like, no way. Like, that would
have been a panic.
I was like, this cannot run
on their bus.
No, exactly.
Guys, don't kill me. But other than the goal, Mario, I mean, you started off well. What happened?
I think that's what we do, though. Like, we start off well and then afterwards we get figured out and then that's it. Do you know what I mean? Because when we started, I was like, yeah, like, this is what I want to see. Like, you know, it was very quick. It was fast. I was like, yeah, this is what we need to see. Like, now let's put the ball in the back of the net quick, because Man United always needs to be a couple goals up or else, we can't. We're not good at soaking up pressure and all of that. So I thought, okay, yeah, like, let's get the goals, you know, let's get the goal and then get another one. So Martial scored. I think that's the only positive for me from the game, in that he's been injured for a while and he's been struggling. Confidence is short. And then he scored. So I'm thinking, all right, this is good. Like, this is good for him.
He's a big man. Sorry, go on.
We don't do that here.
He has a Ballon d'Or clause. I'm sorry, but sorry, go on.
Anyway, I'm just saying that was a positive in that, you know, he needs that goal. I'm happy for him, sort of thing. And I feel like after we had that spell where we were just on to Everton and then they woke up, they were like, oh, these aren't on anything. And they're just cutting from midfield, chance after chance after chance. And I said, God, why did you start like this? I was like, I was happy, I was feeling comfortable. I said, yeah, Everton are going to get this today. And then they were on to us and I was just like, wow, like, this is what we are. Like, our midfield doesn't exist.
No, exposed.
And I realised that, and I kept saying, I think from the Wolves game, that's when after Leeds, I think I tried to be positive. I remember my first episode and Beatrice was like, yeah, I think it's going to be a good season. I didn't think that inside, but I just jumped on her way. And I was like, it's going to be a good season. And then the Wolves game happened and the way we were getting cut through, I was like, oh my word, like, Fred scared me. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're finished. Like, we face like a really good side, because Wolves can't really finish. Like, the end product is quite poor. Yeah. And I was like, we face a good side, or even just a half decent side, like that, you know, where they can put the ball in the back of the net. I was like, yeah, we're so finished. Like, come to Champions League, we're done out. And then I was like, yeah, this is spooky. Like, this season's going to be scary. And then we saw it again with Everton. Like, they created so many chances. And it was just like, our midfield was just getting run through. And everyone was saying this. That's when everyone was saying, oh, like, rival fans were saying, or a super team and this and that. That's why Man United fans are not having it. It's not because we're trying to be fake humble and that, but we're not. Like, look at that. Like, that's poor.
You're not a super team.
We're not. We've never said that. It's all you lot. Like, we've never said that.
You don't think you have a super team?
No, we don't.
Okay, if you don't have a super team, can I ask one question?
Yes.
Don't, because I know what questions
are. I have a feeling I know, but I hope you don't.
Do you think you're going to be Chelsea?
Is that your priority right now?
Yeah.
You're talking about
Patrick. Yeah, exactly. I can't. At the beginning of the season, I was like, yeah, like, I'm ready. Let's go. And because Ollie's always like, when it gets to tough fixtures, he always kind of pulls through. I thought, okay, it'll be okay. But now, kind of after yesterday, guys, I'm rattled. I'm scared to play Liverpool. Scared to play Leicester. No, everyone. Like, I'm actually scared. Like, I'm scared. It makes me anxious. So
I'm not going to lie. Sar's going to do you guys dirty.
he scored against us before. And it was a good. I remember that goal. I can see it in my head right now. And I don't know. I felt
so. When you're getting flashbacks.
Just a little bit, because it was a heartbeat. And I can hear the commentator saying his name as well. But,
just not when you go to sleep at night.
But yeah, yesterday was just. I think it's just how we've played. Apart from Leeds, like Leeds, that's what we're gonna get. Like, it's just Leeds text, but. I think every other game we've kind of seen that's how we've played. Like, do you remember we've seen it in the Champions League, we've seen it in the Prem. It's just, there's no, like, they're just not coached well, and that's not us making excuses. Like, it's evident to see, like, even when Fred and somebody get the ball, it's like, you never know where the next pass is coming from. Like, we're so everyone, they'll, like, get the ball and look up, and it's like, they don't know what to do. Like, do you know what I mean? That's why.
But VDB's there, you know.
But he doesn't, doesn't rate him. He doesn't, like, clearly, he doesn't. Like, he's not cutting it for him.
I feel like Donny could be the answer to your
problem. No, you have to deep it. But Tommy was injured for 3 weeks and Donny's still in.
Did you know how sad this? I feel so sorry for him, guys. Like,
guys, did you see the picture of the video of him throwing the chewing gum?
Oh, yeah. Did he throw his papers?
What did he say?
He said, I was always taught as a little boy to not swallow my chewing gum. And I was thinking, what are you doing?
Something so stupid of that little thing. <kid. laughs>
You know, clipping that video.
Yeah,
that
face.
Everyone knows the face.
Oh my gosh.
No, they clipped this video of Ole like right at the end of the game where it's 1-1 and he's swinging his thumb out and he goes.
Guys, let's reset us. Mama, what would you say?
Like, we also had, like you said, we actually had a lot of chances. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 10 to 9, like big chances.
Yeah, Ray had a field day. He's enjoying himself.
But Ollie, his like post-match interview, he was like, it's like he didn't create chances, but they scored a goal, so it's like unlucky. And I was like,
but he's not honest.
But even from Lucky United perspective, I'd be like so mad if my manager wasn't recognising like.
That's
how bad.
That's my. I don't listen to his. I don't listen to conferences. I don't listen to. I don't listen to press conferences. I don't listen to post match unless it's on there and I just happen to be there.
He gets a rise out of pissing
us off. He never
asked the question. He never asked the question. And then he starts giving some stupid anecdotes talking about, oh, his son this or this. When he was growing up, he was talking about swallowing his chewing gum. He was like, so I'm sure Donny got that same message and that's why he threw it out. I said, are you all right? Like, it's not even good. Like, why do you talk? That's why I even need to stop talking now at this point. Because you're not performing on the pitch yet. You're not telling us anything that's even giving us hope.
Or courage.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we've got nothing to hold on to other than stupid words. And right now, I've had enough. I've had absolutely enough. Yesterday, Everton are breaking the ball. Decore just giving Fred the shoulder. He's on the floor.
And he's on the floor.
I said, what is going on? And Ole was watching that and smiling, doing thumbs up and this.
But what was he actually talking about? Like, he wasn't actually talking about anything serious. I don't know if he was trying to give instructions. And
you
then
have to believe it. It was in 94-23. There was 4 minutes of added time. He was talking at 94-23. And he was like, Scotty, talk. Like, he's not serious. He wants us to be upset. And that's it.
I
hate to kind of pull off on the United kind of string of sadness. But, I mean, if you have Ronaldo in your team... Do you not?
No, please!
Let me land on a question, guys. Let me land on a question. Guys, there's nothing to do. I'm impartial today, yeah?
Okay. No, that's a lie.
I am. We've got two Chelsea fans. Yeah, I'm impartial today, right? If you have Ronaldo on your team, do you not question Ollie as to why he's not starting?
He ruined my fantasy Premier
League. Right, right. He finished pretty, my FPL.
That was pretty selfish.
Ronaldo wasn't good when he came on.
It kind of messed up the...
And one thing that was very clear from the match here was that Ollie had decided before the match that he was going to make the substitutions when he made it.
Yeah, he took them off.
I said, left winger and your striker in the 50-something minute. You know, it was clear that he had said in the plan.
Yeah.
That's what
He didn't allow it off what was going on. I mean, Ollie doesn't do it anyway. He's not reactive manager anyway, so...
So would you have started Ronaldo in this match?
I mean...
Despite his performance, if
Ronaldo starts that match, I think he scores from the cross that Wan-Bissaka did in the beginning. And then after that, I'm not sure what else happens. But obviously, with him on the pitch, you always have a chance. The thing is, if you keep Ronaldo on the pitch for 90 minutes, and you create enough chances, he will score goals. That's just how it is.
It's also momentum as well. Like, he just scored the last minute winner. He's been scoring well.
Mm-hmm. And why does he understand rotation when it comes to the forward players, but you don't understand? First of all, we've seen McFred 10,000 times, and it's more than enough. Like, and the problem that I was having with the Everton match is that everything we saw, we have seen it before. Like, there was nothing new. That midfield has been getting disgraced. Everton, Doucouré was playing as if, you would think this guy was Verratti. That's how he
yeah.
was. So good. He is good, but
come on. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
he was just comfy. Ernie was just watching him thinking, this is calm. I got intensity and passion in the 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's all he talks about. He doesn't ever talk about anything that actually matters. Like, okay, of course that matters, but do you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, on the pitch.
Yeah.
Like, when we need something to change.
I feel like, so sorry to cut you off, Mariam and Moyo. I feel like if we sit here and talk about United for this long, we're going to be here for quite a long time. But an interesting point that you touched on with Ronaldo is that when he came on, he wasn't playing too great. Yeah. And, you know, everyone's seen the stats. Mm. At The Athletic posted that Cristiano Ronaldo, no one presses less than Cristiano Ronaldo. I think everyone missed the point that it's actually out of just the forwards. But no one presses less than Cristiano Ronaldo. And can you see this being a problem for Manchester United? Especially because Ronaldo comes on and then all of a sudden Everton score. Is that a problem that you see?
You see what I did there?
Ed.
I don't think it's a problem. I'm not expecting 136-year-old man to be pressing like a man down the pitch. The only thing is, if he's not pressing, you just need to have wingers that are pressing. Like, it's give and take. He's not going to press. That's just the truth. But that's not that's not been his game for like 10 plus years.
Yeah.
So it's fine as long as you have given instructions to said wingers.
Yeah.
But there's no instruction.
That's exactly. That's the only time where it will become a problem for us, because Ollie doesn't give those wingers instructions.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have an idea. Like, he won't set up in that. He won't make us secure in that. Oh, we know Ronaldo's not going to press, so you need to. It won't be that. So then that's where I feel like the problem will come in. But I don't think it's a major issue. Like, so, we know he doesn't do that.
Okay, so he doesn't have that in his game. What, apart from, I don't know, in fact, no, I'm not even going to ask that question because I think it's a very stupid question. I was actually about to ask what else can Ronaldo bring to the team, but I feel like that's a bit silly.
It's a bit silly, goals.
Yeah.
Because these are not serious. That's just the truth of it. And he is serious.
He wants to win.
I'm not even, like, I think someone made a point the other day and it was just like, just him being on the pitch here makes, you see when you look at it, you look across the pitch and you see he looks fuming, you'll stop making your passes extra crisp, exactly. That's it,
elevates the level of the team just by having a player like of that class in your, like, in your squad.
So him not pressing is not a problem for Man United, as long as, you know, the wingers are given that instruction to kind of like, okay, Ronaldo's not gonna press, you need to press up high.
Okay, I think you basically just need to not protect, but you know what I mean, like, you know he's not going to do that. You don't
want to play to his strengths.
But, you know, because of Ollie, like, a lot of these players do get exposed.
Playing to Ronaldo's strength, does that cause a shift in the dynamic in the team?
Yeah.
How? How so?
I said that to be fair before he signed. That was one of the
Is it negative? Is it positive? What is it?
Necessarily want to sign him. Obviously, you always take Ronaldo, but it wasn't like, oh my God, Ronaldo might be available going right. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because to get the best out of Ronaldo, there's a certain way you have to play
everyone else.
Yeah.
And that certain way is not really optimal to most of the other forwards.
Yeah.
But he will score goals. So it's the toss-up. As long as he's still scoring goals, it may be fine. But if he stops scoring goals and we're still playing in this way, we're in deep trouble.
Okay, and I guess, how do we unlock Sancho? Anyway, sorry, moving on. I'm joking. We ain't doing Sancho.
He was good,
We're not actually doing Sancho. That was actually just a joke. Like, we're not doing Sancho.
Has Sancho started like a full Premier League game?
Yeah, he has. But he's not. I think he's growing into his confidence. He's growing into it.
But there's certain things I just want him to. He just needs to add some more intensity.
Yeah.
Has he grown?
I guess he's been a bit too safe. Like, just release.
The intensity of the Bundesliga and the Premier League, it differs. And we've seen it in Kai Havertz. Yeah. We've seen it in Timo Werner. We don't want to go into Sancho too much.
But I'm like, when he was playing for Dortmund, Dortmund are a team who are known for their attacking is like. They're so well drilled, and every player knows exactly what they're doing. Exactly. Whereas, like United, out of pretty much any of the top teams in the Premier League, is like the worst at that. There's no actual plan, and that's not even an insult in terms of they've got incredible players. but you don't look at United and be like, you know exactly how they're gonna like attack. Do you know what I mean? It's just individual. So it's like he's gonna have to work into that as well.
I feel sorry for him because that's why he will struggle. I don't feel like it's entirely his fault.
He should have come to Chelsea.
I'm being big and serious.
Yeah, if you take Sancho and you make him one of those like tens behind Lukaku, he would bang.
That's what you told us about Ziyech, and he's dead.
Yeah, no, 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 no.
Wait, what is this energy?
That's what you said, my friend. Secondly, Havertz, listen, I like Havertz.
Okay, do you know what? Moyo. Moyo. Moyo, we're not doing Chelsea right now. We're gonna come to Chelsea. Give us a chance.
I was just talking about tactics. You push the same button.
Okay, guys.
All I'm saying, Ole will not get sacked because United aren't dead enough for him to be sacked. So enjoy your time. Enjoy.
Okay,
so let's go do that.
Enjoy.
There's nothing to enjoy.
You had a run like that last year.
And he prevailed.
What did the season bring us? Nothing.
No, but vibes. You know how he's. Everyone keeps saying he knows the United way. He knows. He makes everyone feel good. Everyone wants to fight for the badge.
You don't want to keep that.
He ain't even good for that no more. Everything
does
pisses me off.
No, I can't lie. I'm not with the vibes thing no more. I really would have loved him to succeed, but it's not there. Like, you know, it's not happening. He hasn't got it, and it's okay. He can be in the background, like, you know, his family. Just be there, but he can't coach. We're gonna end the United
Everton segment. I'm gonna end on a positive note. Marva, with what you've seen against Manchester United, are you warming up a little bit more to Rafa Benitez and his style of play? And What is your take for the rest of the season?
No, definitely. I think he's definitely like won fans over completely because even in that game when we were losing 1-0 and it looked like we might lose 1-0, I was like, you know what? Like, and I don't usually think this way, but I was like, even if we lose this game, I don't think anyone's going to be that mad because it was a bit of unlucky positioning for the goal that we conceded. Other than that, we played really well. We were definitely organised and compared to last year, we had results like that where, okay, we defended well and then sort of tried on the counter-attack and got some stuff out of it. But the difference this year is we're doing that and we seem to know what we're doing on the ball when we get it. Yeah. Last year, we didn't know what we were doing on the ball when we got it, basically. It was just Hamas and inshallah. But like, other than that, it was just like, this year, it's like, they're clearly well-drilled. They know what their plan is, which means that even when we come up against teams where we need a bit more possession, even though that's still going to be a struggle for us, we know at least what we're doing. And having someone like Decore, who's just now a complete box-to-box midfielder, is exactly what we need now that we don't have James or like that kind of like number 10 creative role. So I'm like, it's looking all right. I'm still like sceptical because obviously like our squad is dire.
Yeah.
Like it's so thin. But, and so if like Alan or Decore got injured, I feel like it's a mess. But
yeah.
even with that, to just know, like, now pick up points now and get some points on the board while we've got injuries, that's like so important, mm-hmm. because I don't know how bad it might get, but it's like, let's call, cool, let's mm-hmm. let's keep these points now and we'll see what we can do, basically.
See, positivity. Positivity.
Good, well, we have much lower expectations. I'm yeah. like, we're not getting relegated.
Yay! Were you thrown in shape there?
Oh, oh.
Just asking.
I wasn't thrown in shape.
Okay, that's fine. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm
do you know what?
To back. Loss, not losses, but losses. Really have you guys on edge.
Yes, right. Our backs against the wall. We admit it.
Okay, speaking of backs being against the wall, Chelsea had their backs against the wall against Southampton.
That's a nice segue.
It was a nice segue. I'm getting better at this, man. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, Chelsea played Southampton over the weekend. And I guess it wasn't the best of games, but the most important thing is we got the win, especially off of Juventus. So, Brie, Joyce, the floor is yours. Do you want to talk about Juventus first, or do we want to not bring that negative energy here?
I don't
here?
Remember Juventus.
I don't want to talk. No, I actually don't want to talk about it.
No,
because,
I want to hear about it.
Because, yeah, no, you guys are talking about bad vibes and negative energy. They will feel my negative energy like Azerbaijan. Like, I was so angry that day.
Why don't you talk about it?
Yeah, you can talk about it.
Me? Anita was rattled. Like, she just sat there like this after the game.
I don't.
Silence.
Listen, I don't recall. Did we watch that match, Brie?
No.
Yeah, I did. I don't know. I didn't. Out of my blood. Anyway. Yeah. So we're not going to talk about Juventus? No. Are we all in agreement? Yeah?
Yeah.
Rival fans, are we allowed to just skip that over?
That's right. We all know what he did in it. So.
Yeah. We all know that Chelsea sucked ass against Juventus. But a positive to take from Juventus is Callum Hudson-Odoi, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, and Trevor Chalobah were introduced into the game after 65 to 70 minutes,
mm.
and the dynamic kind of shifted, mm-hmm. right? And then going into Southampton, you see those three Chelsea Academy graduates take the game into their hands. Yeah. Don't laugh at me. Take the game into their hands because they were finally on the starting lineup. So I guess I'm going to start there with you, Joyce. I'll start with you.
Yeah.
How much of an impact do you think Ruben Loftus-Cheek and Callum Hudson-Odoi can bring to this team?
Do you know what can happen on this team? I say, for me, if we talk about, like, what Callum Hudson-Odoi can bring to the team, in terms of, like, attacking, in terms of, like, our most creative players, he is undoubtedly, in terms of, like, what he can do creatively, like, one of the best. Even though he's been playing, like, right wing back, if you look at the stats, which I'm not going to bring up because I don't know, everyone has Google in it, but like he still puts up good creative numbers playing from like right wing back. Yeah. And then when we move him into like the position that he actually wants to play, like up front as a winger, he looked good. Like not the second half, he did like kind of trail off and he wasn't as great. But the first half, like there was that assist that got disallowed and like that was really great. The way he was combining with Chilwell on that left-hand side, like I was just so impressed with it. And the fact, because I think for him, he knows like he doesn't get a chance at like left wing. Like he never gets it. Yeah. Everyone will be injured and dead and then they'll find a way to put someone else that isn't him.
Yeah.
In like, he's just not seen as like, I don't know if Tuchel doesn't seem like in that role, but he had that chance. And I feel like, especially in that first half, he really did take it. And I think knowing that we have him potentially as like a, as an option in the front three, I think that excites me because he offers a different profile. And he's one of the only few people who's like a pure, like an actual winger.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously we have Pulisic, but Pulisic is like kind of on and off with that injury. That's a whole different battle. Maybe we don't talk about today. I don't know. Like Ziyech is kind of, he's not really a winger. Like he can't be on the wing, but he's like a 10 wing. Yeah. Anyway. and then there's obviously like, Mount isn't really like a winger, but he plays at the inside forward. And then we have Havertz as well, who isn't really a pure winger. So like that profile of player on the left, I feel like we really benefited from it during that game. And like, I just really enjoyed watching him. Loftus-Cheek as well, I think a lot of people, and I think with reason, like counted him out. Like he wasn't amazing at Fulham. Obviously, he had like the really bad injury that took him out for a really long time.
Yeah.
And he's just like, at his age, he's someone who should have way more minutes, like as a football player, like way more minutes, like be way more like established. But it's just not happened for like a whole bunch of reasons. So lots of people just thought like, didn't even see him as like one of the midfield options. He was just kind of here on vibes. But I really do think like, I just thought he was really, really great. It seemed like a turn back the clock performance. Like it reminded me of like some of the games that he had like when he was playing, he was getting minutes under Sarri. Mm-hmm. Like I was just like really happy with like his, like he slowed off in the second half. I think they were right to kind of like for him to like not play like a full 90. But yeah, like his dynamic, he was really good, like touches, part, like he was just, I was just really impressed by him. And I think it's good that we have another midfield option. Yeah. I think Chelsea fans were really worried, like we only have Kante, Jorginho and Kovacic.
Saul?
And
that one, we don't speak of Saul.
How long is his loan? Just until January?
Just until, no, end of the season.
End of the season. End of the season. Obligation to buy.
Obligation to buy.
Yeah, you wish. Marina would never.
And do you know what, like, because I made a tweet or I said a comment about Saul, like, after his first game. People are like, oh, you're so harsh. It's only the first game. Like, I am always very wary of, like, clubs that are begging you to take their players. If you want me to have him that bad, he's not that great.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously, like, that isn't always the case. But, like, I don't know. We're just seeing it. He might be a useful backup option. But me and Sal, like, right now, I'm not convinced by anything. But, yeah, those two and Trevor, like, just the fact that most of the goals are kind of, like, made in Cobham. Like, I just... I was enjoying.
Made in Cobham. I like that.
I like that too.
That is so romantic.
No, it is. That is really romantic. And of course, another person to get on the score sheet, Timo Werner.
Finally,
Timo Werner back to scoring ways.
Shut up. Because guess what? We're at the top of the fucking league, and you guys.
Maybe it's over.
I don't fucking care.
Everyone on the top of the league and let's not get too excited.
You got a point.
It's definitely Arsenal.
Some of us actually just sitting in the corner, just adding things in, like to spice it up.
Throwing
Maggie to the stew. I'm so done. Anyway, Bree, Timo Werner, finally, you know, back to scoring ways. How impressed were you with his performance on the weekend?
I didn't watch the game enough to pay attention, but when he scored, I was happy. And that's all that I care about.
Do you know what, guys? For context, Bree was out here on her birthday weekend doing bits. So
she didn't watch
the match, but she was doing bits. Just understand that. She looked good. We'll put a picture at the end.
But I must say, I'm not gonna lie, when I saw Rudiger yesterday, I was like, I'm so happy we won today.
She saw Rudiger, Kovacic,
Mendy.
Basically, the team went to News Rep to go and celebrate the win, finally.
I don't know what AWB was doing there yesterday.
Is he not allowed to eat?
Yeah, can't eat. Someone said if you don't get 3 points, you can't eat.
Yeah, exactly. You have to enjoy it.
If you don't get 3 points, into me at home, sorry.
You should be outside training, not eating steak. But
okay, but so, Timo Werner.
I'm really happy that I finally got on the score sheet. I saw the disallowed goal, and I feel like Mike Dean genuinely hates us because I don't think that should have been disallowed. It was literally a very, very soft foul from what I can remember. And realistically speaking, we actually should have won that game, like, 5-something or so, because there were a lot of chances. Now, coming off Werner going to Lukaku, now it's been a few games since he scored, and we spent a lot of money on him, so realistically, you should be scoring a goal in every single game, but he's not doing that.
You wouldn't have scored
20 plus in the Premier League minimum. He hasn't scored in the last couple of games, so I'm watching him.
Lukaku watch.
And he didn't score against Juve as well.
To be fair, he didn't really have service. I'm not even gonna lie.
To be honest, we were poor on cheese, but we're not gonna talk about that.
Yeah, no bad vibes.
But yeah, I just hope that he gets on the scoreline. I mean, the score sheet after we come back from our international break. What else do I have to say? All I just care about is that Chelsea won yesterday. We're at the top of the league, and Man United. That's it.
Period. And Joyce.
Don't
call emergency services.
Do you know what it is? I like heart attacks. I'm just so happy. Like,
that was nice. Are you worried about the Lukaku goal drought?
I'm not necessarily worried because I don't think the goal drought is just about him. I think, you know, like, when Conte, like, he was, Conte just sat in the pod. I don't know why, who asked him and why he's talking anyway. But I feel like he was being fair, like, when he was making points. Like, Lukaku just can't be a target man. Like, yeah. I feel like maybe we need to play a bit more to, like, his strength. I think also, like, he wasn't really, the past two games, like, the game, obviously, especially the game against Juventus, he wasn't really getting much service. Like, you can't feed someone scraps and then expect them to score, like, every single game. Even the games where he was scoring at the beginning of the season, if you look at, like, he was very clinical. You look at, like, his expected goals and the number of goals, they were quite, like, I don't want to say identical, but they were very, very similar. So he was basically, like, finishing, like, a lot of the chances that he was getting. So he's not getting loads of chances. So if he wants more goals, if we want him to score more goals, we need to create more for him. Obviously, that's not taking responsibility away from Lukaku, because, like, he does, like, need to be better, and there were chances that he should have taken.
Yeah.
But he's, do you know what I mean? I think it's just gonna take a bit of time. And I know he's 100 mil, so we can't just, you know, there's a bit of a ticking, like, clock. But yeah, I feel like he'll still come good. We just tweaking the team a little bit to make it work.
What do you guys say to fans who are kind of being very reactionary about Thomas Tuchel and, you know, his future at Chelsea?
They need to shut the fuck up. That's what I tell them.
I thought my back was
impossible. Yeah!
That's what they need to do. Everyone needs to chill, honestly. Like, what the hell? We've had a worse season start than this. Like, I don't even understand why people are saying that. Like,
But to be fair, I see where it's coming from.
What do you see?
Roberto.
What?
No, hear me out. Roberto Di Matteo, we thought the same thing. Like, he had a good run of games when he came back from winning us the Champions League, right? Mm-hmm. His games were good. We beat Tottenham, we beat Man United, came to Juventus now. We drew Juventus, then we lost 3-0, and he lost his job.
Hello, are you remembering that then we got knocked out of the Champions League?
That wasn't Roberto Di Matteo. It was Di Matteo. No, because we played Juventus in November.
No, are you talking about when we just came off the back of winning the Champions League in 2012?
Yeah.
We still had Di Matteo.
And then we got knocked out. And
so, Roberto Di Matteo got fired after we played Juventus.
Yeah, and we were going to get knocked out of the group stages.
And then we brought in Benitez, won us the Europa League.
We brought in Hiddink, then Benitez, no?
No, we brought in Benitez, I swear.
Look, okay, right.
We brought in Benitez and we won the Europa League with Benitez, but in between, didn't we have Hiddink?
What I'm asking is, are you saying that the situation is similar with Thomas Tuchel?
I'm saying people are coming off of that, and that's where the reaction is.
I think it's coming from a couple of things. I think actually there are, like, maybe it's not a massive group of Chelsea fans, but there are Chelsea fans who look at Tuchel and they're like, I don't actually like the way he plays football. I don't enjoy it. Or, you know,
but we never play great football.
Yeah, but maybe, do you know what? Sometimes maybe people think, they're like, do you know what? I do, like, this is the kind of football I want to watch. This is the kind of football I want to see my team play whilst winning. And there is a trade-off to some extent. Like, you have to sometimes give some things up in order. Like, I think when we won the Champions League last year, even, like, in the league, like, we weren't amazing, but we were like, getting our results. Like, we did what we had to do because it was crunch time. We had just come off the back of, like, a very, like, Higgy Haga appointment, like, time with Lampard. So we just had to secure top four. We had to, like, win, so whatever. So, like, some things had to be compromised this time round. But now we're, like, in a new season where it's not really about compromise. And, like, there are some Chelsea fans who are just like, do you know what? I want to see something more fluid, more free-flowing. I don't know why we're playing with five defenders, blah, 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 blah. It's not everyone, and I don't think it's a big enough. I think Twitter sometimes makes it seem like certain sets of fans are much bigger than they actually are. Because I feel like if you go and you go to, like, a Chelsea game and you ask them, I don't think there are people who are thinking like, I want Tuchel to leave.
Yeah, because who are we even going to bring in? We've had everyone.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We've been around the block.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of sluts, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So we're not buying into the whole Tuchel needs to leave, etc., etc. Because some people were like, oh, well, Faye was like, Tuchel out, Lukaku out, Aspen put her out, everyone.
That list was hilarious. That
was 75% of your squad.
Yeah, it was literally 75% of the squad.
Yeah.
It was so Faye. Like,
yeah, it literally was so
Faye. But even if we don't want, like, obviously, like, we don't want Tuchel out, like, for the most part, people don't want Tuchel out. I do think that, like, he can't, it's not like he can't be criticised because he won this Champions League, do you know what I mean? And I think that's like the kind
everyone's subject to criticism.
Yeah, everyone can get it.
Yeah, and that's why Tuchel made so many changes to his squad against Southampton, even though it took the red card to get us the win. He changed the squad, he changed it around. The way we played was a lot more different as well, a lot more attacking. And yeah, I guess we're not...
That go on more, yeah? Pass as well, yeah.
Exactly. I was about to go on to Ross Barkley, because Ross Barkley is kind of the forgotten Chelsea player that came from Everton. Thank you, mother. That came from Everton. Same. And
but the way he left Everton was the snakiest thing ever.
Wait, let's take 2 minutes to hear the story. What's the story?
So basically, right, he was like the next like big project for us as well. Yeah. He got injured, and then he was like using all our like rehabilitation services. Fair enough, but we were like, we were like, it's cool. We know he's going to leave to Chelsea, right? And I can't remember if it was like the January one or it was like, cool. He's going to leave. Everyone knows he's going to leave. It's going to be for like 30 million or so. Comes transfer deadline day. And he gets the medical, he does the medical, and then he's like, I don't want to leave, actually. And we were like, sorry, what? So he decides not to leave then, but instead still doesn't play for us because he's recovering from his injury, winds down the clock, winds down his contract to the point that you guys got him for, like, cheap money. He took, like, 20 million off of the price, basically, just because he was, like, Chelsea are more likely to, like, buy into him once he's fully recovered. So essentially he put that over, like, his boyhood club, lost us out on, like, 20 million for him. Wow. And didn't play that whole time that he was back with us.
I always wondered why he was so cheap. I always wondered, because he was that prospect, you know, that young English prospect. But okay, thank you for the insight on that.
Everton fans hate him. Like, I literally hate him.
I can't wait till we play you guys.
We played, it was like 4-0 to you guys, but anyway, we'll move faster. But it was like a few years ago, and I was like, oh, I wonder what the reception will be like when we get there. Like, you know, he was still like a boyhood Everton player, like. And I got that, and I'm not joking, within like 2 minutes of being with the Everton fans, I heard a song being like, die Ross Barkley when you die. And I was like, rah. Okay. This is deep.
That's a bit much.
I know. They hate
people that live in Liverpool. They're mad. They're nuts.
Moya does not reflect the views of this podcast. Liverpool fans do not come to us at Moya's laboratory.
But like, you can cook her.
It's just like the Leicester fans hate Chilwell so much.
I don't understand that one.
Like, come on. He would. Anyway, I'm not even going to feed into it. But Brie, Ross Barkley, in fact, because you weren't really watching the match, actually, you might have missed the sensational pass that he did. But he did a sensational pass to Aspilicueta. He kind of gave us that.
Was it the pass that he did to Aspilicueta?
Yeah, for Timo to get the goal. I saw that. And it kind of adds a creative edge to Chelsea now, if that makes sense. Do you want to see that kind of... Because we have, you know, terrorism ball, whatever they want to call it on the timeline.
Tuchelaban.
Yeah. But are you excited to see this kind of creativity in Chelsea squad? And do you want to see more of Ross Barkley, more of Ruben Loftus-Cheek into the squad?
I don't know.
Nice.
Right. Nice, simple, and sweet.
I genuinely don't know, because I haven't seen them enough to make my decision. Like, yeah, I want to see more of this. But all I know, that could have just been a glitch.
They did their thing on loan for like three months, and then Aston Villa fans were like, take him.
Yeah, they told us to take him back. Like,
yeah,
and Fulham, Calling fans on my timeline, like, Ruben Loftus-Cheek owes us an apology because they don't know where this was when he was there. Like, it's actually been dire. But Joyce, are you looking forward to seeing it?
I mean, it gives us, like, different profiles to put in midfield. Like, they're good, like, squad options. I just think, for me, like, Ross Barkley, because Ross Barkley's actually been in and around Chelsea for quite a few years now. But I feel like his relationship with Chelsea fans is weird. Like, a lot of Chelsea fans, like, just don't rate him at all. I feel like he's really dead. Like, everyone calls him brain dead. Okay, maybe not everyone. That's a bit harsh. No, not like that. I think it's just the idea that, like...
It's the penalty, isn't it?
The penalty. Valencia. They don't rate him. But I think it's not even that. I just think Ross Barkley has so much talent. And he's obviously, like, quite a creative player. Like, do you know, like, the Lampard... Oh, I don't want to say what period it was. It was, like, you know, after we'd been, like, popped by... by earlier, like, a few times, and then we had that next, and then we started playing the FA Cup again, and Barkley came in, like, that period of time. So we just, like, and then, like, Barkley had that good, like, kind of run of form. But I think with Barkley, like, the issue for me personally is just that, like, we can't rely on him to make good decisions. Like, he'll be on the ball and you just think, like, there's, like, three decisions he could make and he'll just pick the wrong one. And just watching him is, like, very frustrating. But he's obviously very talented, and I feel like he gets a lot of stick. Well, he got more stick from Chelsea fans than, like, he would have if he was, I don't know, if he was more liked. But
the thing, he's very, like you said, he's got a lot of talent, but he's not consistent. But then I feel like that actually could work more so for, like, a Chelsea compared to, like, a Villa who are relying on him.
Yeah, who rely on
every single match. Yeah. But, like, for Chelsea to bring him on, like, now and then, bring some creativity when
I guess it could be, like, a substitute, like a super sub. Rather than
bring him on at 60 minutes, just call scales.
If you tell him I need you to give intensity for 20 minutes,
he can do it. And he did that against Southampton. He actually did that against Southampton. But we're gonna cut that short there because we've only got about 6-7 minutes to discuss Arsenal. I mean, Arsenal, did you travel to Brighton or did you host Brighton?
We travelled.
You travelled to the South End.
We went away.
Did they lose or draw?
They drew.
It was a very annoying draw.
I'm just trying to pick points from that match. I'm just like pulling at straws here. So discuss.
basically, everyone was on a high from the Spurs game. Not sure why. But
you shouldn't have been.
Listen, okay. Give her a chance. For everyone listening, okay. I'm not an idiot. You see, the Spurs game, it was wonderful. We won 3-1, beautiful. You know, it's a derby. When you play in a derby, you're going to play to the death. That's the point.
play to the death.
We need to win. And we're at home as well. You think we're going to lose against Spurs at home? There's no way. But anyways, from that game, the timeline started going a bit haywire, saying, oh yeah, I'm a Arteta in. This is why he's a great manager. Can you hush your lips? Because this guy, what decisions he makes after those games is really telling. Because Brighton, I expected a win from that game, I'm not going to lie. The starting lineup, I was actually quite happy with it. It's what I expected as well. And obviously with Xhaka out now for a good couple of months, Partey and Lokonga, they are going to be our midfield pairing that we're going to be relying on. And in that game, they weren't really clicking. There was not a lot of connection going on. They were playing way too wide. Lokonga started doing, he was playing more of a left back than he was supposed to be in midfield. And I was like, my friend, where are you going? You should be, you're playing too deep for when you should be playing more forward passes. And I feel like Arteta's game plan was very much, we're going to play low block and counter. But that's not going to work against a Brighton team that's playing out wide. Because, what's his name? Cruella de Vil.
Cruella de Vil.
What, Cucurella?
Yeah, wait, what? Cucurella.
Yeah,
it
was Cucurella.
Heard his name so much, and he was cooking Tomiyasu. So, and I heard his name so much, it just reminded me of Cucurella. So I was like, I can't remember.
Yeah, Tomiyasu got cooked still.
Yeah. Xhaka was not helping him at all. What was going on?
This is the problem. Like, the relationship that the players are still trying to build is still not there. Mm. And like, obviously, Tomiyasu and Saka, we already know that Saka doesn't, he plays better on the right wing. So the right back behind him needs to give him service. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to lie, Saka and Smith Rowe in the first half, they were really making some creative input as much as they could. But there's only so much they do. And as per usual, the same thing with Arsenal. When we get to the final third, we just look confused. Like, the goal is right there. Just go for it. Just try it. See what happens, because you might actually get a goal. And they just stop. They slow it down. The momentum just literally goes to zero. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, Brighton, they intercepted and they got the pass and they were pressing. When I say these Brighton lot were pressing.
No, it was absolutely nuts. At one point, I was like, oh my gosh, like, when is half time? Like, this is bad.
It was a pressing mess. I was like, do you know what?
But whenever you go to Brighton, you've got to expect that, though. You have to expect it.
It's true. And you know what? You could just see a formation. You could see what Brighton were trying to do. And I was hoping that Arteta would clock it, but clearly not. And defence was getting worked. Defence was getting worked. But I'll give credit to Ben White. He was the one that had the most clearances. He did a lot in terms of actually getting rid of most of the chances that Brighton were getting. And Brighton had chances.
That's the problem.
Like, if they had them product, it'd be madness. It'd be madness.
If they had... If give Graham Potter a good team.
If they could finish all my days.
Cool. If they had end product, fine. But Ramsdale, my gosh, if Leno was in goal, finished.
Yeah.
We would have conceded.
It saved you.
If Leno was in goal, we would have conceded at 3-0.
Yeah.
But Ramsdale, that guy, honestly, he's saved us more than 1,000 times. All the saves, the critical saves that could have been goals was because of him. But the defence also, they did their thing as well in terms of clearing. And obviously, they conceded a lot of corners that really just put us in a very vulnerable position.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, how is a 6'7" player being marked by Odegaard?
No facts.
So that made me giggle.
Facts. That was comical.
And I was expecting a lot from Odegaard as well. As a number 8, you're the one that's supposed to be spearheading, you know, the forward passes and making everyone drive forward. Mm. But he was just there, just chilling,
relaxing.
I wasn't really happy at the way that we were playing. Even Aubameyang.
People had so many things to say about Aubameyang.
Yeah.
Do you know what? This is my issue with our strikers. Aubameyang and Lacazette, they both provide what the other can't.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Lacazette, he's so much better in link-up play, but Aubameyang isn't. Aubameyang, when he gets into the third, at least he can create a sort of a goal opportunity that Lacazette can't.
Yeah.
Please, Arsenal, if you hear me, we need a centre-back, a central midfielder, and a striker, please, that can offer both of those things that Lacazette and Aubameyang are clearly not having in their game.
But you guys look down on Tammy, though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. There was a lot of Tammy disrespect still.
Of like it looks like you guys could have benefited from my man.
Do you know what's mad? Fair enough. No, thank you.
I think the whole like, we need to stop buying from Chelsea, we need to stop buying Chelsea rejects, probably in you got to bring.
Yeah.
No, and I'm actually traumatized because last player. I can't blame them.
William.
That man there, sorry. I can't do it again.
Well,
so what was his time at Arsenal?
You know what's funny? His time at Arsenal, he was our top assister.
No.
Yeah, I'm scared. I'm scared of you lot as well. Sorry.
Anyways, that's us from the game.
Listen, the moral of the story is when you're doing business with Chelsea, I feel like we've taken players from everyone, right? And we've given you guys back some players. And it just never works out. We always get the better end of the stick. So stop doing business with Chelsea if you're a rival fan. If you're a rival club, stop doing business with Chelsea.
That worked out all right, to be fair. He's back to us now.
So
we got, what, 70 million off that?
We gave Man United like Matic and Mata.
You're okay with them? We gave Arsenal.
It's just unfortunate, that he is so good, or was so good.
He was so good.
Played into his strengths.
David Moyes.
The setup of the team at that point, we had such an aging squad.
I feel
sorry for him.
Do you know what? Again, we're not doing Man United talk. We're not doing, guys.
I mean, you went there, but
yeah, facts. Yeah. You brought us there.
But the thing is, I didn't. It wasn't me.
You did.
I'm sure.
It was real.
It was not me. You guys came as one, basically.
Wow, racist. But BLM. Wow. Wow, despite the racism we are going, we do not stand for racist profiling. But anyway, guys, thank you once again for tuning into another episode of Gold Diggers UK. Make sure you follow us on Twitter @Gold Diggers UK and on Instagram at golddiggersuk_. Follow our TikTok whenever we put content up there, at golddiggersuk. And make sure you follow us individually as well. We've got some good things going on individually. So yeah, see you guys later. And by the way, Marv is friends with KTB. So KTB, if you are watching this, on a mission, I need that record. I need a plaque for that. That song bangs! It bangs! Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Peace. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.